same teaching, but I want us to study from Luke 9, 23 through 26. We're going to look at our Lord's call to discipleship. So that's what we're going to study about for a little while this morning. Very thankful for each and every person who is here. We have some who are visiting with us, and we're very glad that you have come our way. Some visiting from Indiana, familiar face from Wisconsin, studying there, who's with us this Lord's Day morning. We're thankful for your presence here. And hope you'll stick around after services. Let us get to know you a little bit better. We are a week and a half away from the beginning of a new year. One thing we always like to talk about when this time of year comes around is the importance of being a daily Bible reader. And we put out some extra Bible reading schedules. You'll find them at both doorways. I want to encourage you to pick these up and make that a resolution, make that a goal of yours to do that in this coming year. I know that there are some who are very adamant about doing that, and they're blessed by doing that. I want to encourage all the members again to prayerfully consider being a daily Bible reader in the new year that is coming up. Now, let's talk this morning about following Jesus and what it means to be a follower, a disciple of Jesus. Let's read our text, Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." Now, to help us put this in context, what has happened here is Peter has just made the great confession. Jesus has pulled his 12 aside, and he's asked him, "Well, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" To which Peter responds in Luke's account, up in verse 20, "The Christ of God." Well, Jesus responds by saying, "Well, yes, I am the Christ, and being the Christ, I'm going to have to pay a price for that. I will suffer because of that." Verse 22, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." And then he gives the verses that we're studying from this morning. "It's going to cost me to be the Christ. I'm going to suffer to be the Christ. I want you to know that there's a price to pay for choosing to follow me. Discipleship will come with a cost." What is a disciple? A disciple is not a mere student of someone's teaching. Especially here in the first century, that word has a much deeper and more significant meaning. A disciple is a follower. A disciple is a supporter. These ideas are involved in discipleship. You and I identify ourselves as Christians, if indeed we are Christians, we identify ourselves as such because we follow Christ. We identify with Christ and we support Christ. There are a lot of people today who identify themselves as Christians. This world is filled with counterfeits. It doesn't really matter what you're talking about. If it's something of value, there are counterfeits out there. Maybe it's a handbook or a purse. Maybe it's a watch. Maybe it's currency. There are also counterfeit disciples. Some of them are sincere but misinformed. And when they learn better, they do what the Lord requires of them. But there are others who are malicious deceivers. Either way, there are counterfeits. How can we know who a true disciple of Christ really is? Well, a more important question than that, how can I make sure that I am a true disciple of Christ? Let's get to the heart of the matter. Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" Well, let's make it personal. How can I know whether or not I am a true disciple of Christ, that Jesus would recognize me as being a true disciple of His? Well, in our passage, the Lord gets down to the most basic, fundamental level. I want us to notice where He begins in verse 23. He says, "If anyone desires to come after me." There are a couple of things right here in this opening phrase that are significant and we need to consider as we get involved in this study. Notice number one, discipleship is open to anyone and everyone. Jesus doesn't say, "You elite who desire to follow after me." He doesn't even say, "You Jews who desire to come after me." He says, "Anyone." So if you're here this morning, or perhaps you're studying this lesson with us in some format, and you're wondering whether or not this is really something that is offered to you by the Lord or not, I want you to understand that it is. Jesus calls anyone and everyone to follow Him, to be His disciple, to be saved of their sins. So discipleship is available to you. But notice He says, anyone desires to come after me. No one's going to force you to be a follower of Christ. No one's going to twist your arm and make you do it. Neither is someone going to consider you as a follower of Christ simply because your mom and dad are, or your grandparents were. No, it's something that you have to desire. So this opening phrase teaches me a couple of things about discipleship right off. Number one, discipleship is personal. And number two, discipleship is purposeful. It's personal, it's for me, and it's purposeful. I have to desire it in order to be a disciple. And then the Lord goes on to give five requirements. And so we're going to look at those this morning. That's 5 points with our study this morning. And they're taken from the text right here in Luke chapter 9, 23 through 26. What are the identifying marks of a true disciple of Jesus? Well, number one, the first step of discipleship is no doubt the hardest step of discipleship. If we're going to follow Jesus, truly follow Jesus, He says you have to deny yourself. The first step is the most difficult because it goes against what the world tells us to value the most. And it goes against what we want to value the most. And that is ourselves. Many of us have been conditioned from youngsters to expect people to cater to us. We had parents that doted over us, grandparents who did the same. We live in a world of marketing that tells us you deserve a break today. You need the benefits that you deserve. And we get this message shot at us all the time. And the world is telling us that what we want is the most important thing. And then along comes Jesus and says, no, you have to deny yourself. And that goes against everything that we've experienced, everything that the world tells us. It's a very radical idea if you think about it. To deny myself, selflessness is the key to you and I making discipleship, true discipleship, work. It's not going to work if I bring everything that I want to do and my ideas and dump it before Jesus and say, hey, let's work this out. No, Jesus says the first step is that you must deny yourself. And this wasn't a unique teaching of Jesus. If you turn back just a couple of chapters, Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" That's a great question. And that question echoes even down to today. Why would we call Jesus Lord, which means Master, but still do whatever it is that we want to do? There are those who would call themselves Christians, say they're disciples, but when it comes to really doing what they really want to do, they let everybody know where their loyalty lies. They're going to do whatever it is that they want to do. I mentioned radical, that it is a radical idea. Let me show you Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Now, keep your place in Luke 9. We're going to come back. We're going to study there, but I want us to look at a number of different passages, Galatians 2 and verse 20, with this point of denying self. Here's how radically Paul took this. Galatians chapter 2 and at verse 20. Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And so, Paul, how are you responding to that? I'm giving myself for him. The day that I became a Christian, Paul says, the day that Ananias baptized me for the remission of my sins, I died that day. My will died that day. Whatever life I have left to live, I live for Christ. So, who is a true disciple of Jesus? Well, number one, a true disciple is someone who's living for Jesus, not for themselves. Self-denial is the first step of true discipleship. Now, coming back to our text, we must also take up our cross daily. Now, there have been some people all throughout history who have misunderstood this instruction, and they have made spectacles of themselves by lugging around huge wooden crosses. I've even seen of some that have them built with wheels on the bottom of them so that they can just pull them down over their shoulder and walk around with them like you're carrying your luggage through an airport. And they think, "I'm bearing my cross," or whatever it is they think they're doing. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. Neither is he talking about wearing a cross as a piece of jewelry. When he mentioned the word cross in the first century to these Jews who were listening to him, they knew exactly what that word was. That word cross and the word crucifixion had such ugliness connected to it that there were some who were in the upper levels of Roman society who thought that it was wrong to even talk about it. They didn't want to even discuss it. Most of us know that Roman law forbid a Roman citizen from being crucified. That was something that was reserved for one who did not have the rights of Roman citizenship. Crucifixion was more than an execution. Crucifixion was a statement that was being made. This person doesn't deserve to die like a person. They're made a spectacle before everyone. In the book of Philippians at chapter 2, when it talks about Jesus, he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but took on himself the role of a servant. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Don't miss that last phrase there in Philippians 2 and at verse 8. It tells us something. Not just any kind of death. The death of the cross. Now, Jesus hasn't been crucified yet, but they knew exactly what the cross was. The cross was an implement of immense and shameful suffering. And so when Jesus says that you must take up your cross daily, he's not saying wear a piece of jewelry. He's saying you be willing to share in the suffering with me. He has just mentioned, we're in Luke 9, verse 22, here's what's going to happen to me. I'm going to be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes. I'm going to be killed. You have to take up your cross. You have to be willing to endure that suffering as well. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, true disciples are going to suffer in this world. Not everyone who claims to be a Christian is going to suffer. True disciples are going to suffer. Look at the way this is worded, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and at verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, there are some who don't desire to live godly, and they're not going to suffer that persecution that comes with that desire and that identifying of oneself with Christ. Yeah, we're going to suffer persecution in various ways and to various degrees. And the reason is because we have decided to follow, we have decided to support, we have decided to align ourselves with, even to the point of taking His name on ourselves, one that the world hates and has rejected. And so it shouldn't be any surprise at all that we will suffer when we identify ourselves with Jesus. In John chapter 15, verses 18 through 20, John 15, verses 18 through 20, here Jesus is talking to the apostles, but these truths would apply to anyone who would follow Him. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So it should be no surprise when you and I are called upon to suffer. The Lord said, bear your cross. It's going to come. It's going to come when we have interactions with unbelievers in the world. For some of us, it's going to come on the workplace where we try to continue to serve the Lord faithfully and we try to remain pure. And we've got people around us who are joking about that, tempting us to sin. It's going to happen at school. For some, it's going to happen even in our homes. As we share homes with people who are not followers of Christ, it's going to happen. Luke's account, we read it in Mark's account, that is this call to discipleship. It's in Mark chapter 8. It's also in Matthew chapter 16. But Luke is the only one that mentions Jesus saying that we are to take up our cross daily. Every day we have to purpose, we have to affirm in our hearts that we're going to take on our share of suffering. It's something that we are going to allow to happen to us. It's something that we are going to open ourselves to, and we're going to patiently endure suffering for the cause of Christ. If we don't, we cannot be His disciples. If you look very quickly in Luke chapter 14. Now, I mentioned at the very beginning, the call for discipleship is open to anyone. Anyone can come and be a disciple of Jesus. That invitation is extended to everyone, but not everyone can be a disciple. What do I mean by that? If you look at Luke chapter 14, in which Jesus is calling on us to count the cost of discipleship. Luke chapter 14 verse 27 says, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." We have to be willing to suffer the cost of discipleship in order to be a disciple. So there, a true disciple isn't someone who tries to hide from suffering. It's someone who is willing to bear that suffering. Third, Jesus says, follow me. I don't know about you, but when I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, it's hard not to be envious of those who lived in that time, in that place. What we wouldn't give to have just one moment in time that we could spend there literally following Jesus. We're 2,000 years too late for that. We don't get to follow him around Galilee and Judea and listen to the things that he teaches and witness the miracles that he performs. We do that with our eyes and our ears of faith as we're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But following Jesus doesn't mean you just pick up and you walk around behind me. Following Jesus means you follow his teaching. In John chapter 8, Jesus is teaching, and it says there that some of the Jews are beginning to believe in him. He's beginning to convince some of them. They're beginning to believe in him, and so he knows what's in the heart of all men. That's something that John makes clear early on in his gospel, that Jesus knows what's in the hearts of everyone he encounters. Jesus is not someone you can bluff. He knows exactly what's in our hearts. And so Jesus, knowing that these Jews were beginning to believe in him, he says in John chapter 8 and verse 31, "If you abide in my words, you are my disciples indeed." That means you're really my disciples. You're truly my disciples. What is true discipleship? It means abiding in the words of Jesus. Not just listening to them, not just admiring them, not just posting them on our social media feeds. It means taking it into our hearts and our lives and living it and making the application. The religious world is full of people who claim Jesus as their Lord, but their lives tell a different story. It's evident by seeing the fruits that they are not abiding in, they're not living by and applying the teachings of Jesus to their daily lives. And unfortunately, this can sometimes be seen even in the Lord's church today. A true disciple of Christ is always going to stop and ask, "What would Jesus have me to do?" Whatever circumstance it is that we find ourselves in, maybe it's something that's familiar, maybe it's something that's new, maybe it's something that's trivial, maybe it's something that is earth-shaking for us. A true disciple of Jesus asks first, "What would Jesus have me to do?" And then you do it. Whatever it is, you do it. But I've got my own ideas about this. I've got my own thing that I want to do. See point number one. No, we deny ourselves. We be willing to suffer for Christ. And we do what His Word teaches us to do. That's the cost of discipleship. That's what it means to be a true disciple of Jesus. But He doesn't end there. Let's go back to Luke chapter 9. Look at verses 24. And 25, Jesus challenges us to value the spiritual over the physical. 24 and 25, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost?" Now, why should you and I be willing, voluntarily sign up for points 1 through 3? Deny myself? Be willing to suffer when I can avoid it? Do what Jesus tells me to do, even the difficult things? I don't think so. Jesus says, let's look at the big picture here. We're not talking about your 80 plus perhaps years you're going to live here. We're talking about eternity. And He's calling on us to consider eternity and to consider the spiritual realities over the physical, not doubting the physical is here and the physical exists. But He says, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it." Well, that's our natural inclination, self-preservation, isn't it? That's what motivates all living things, is to preserve ourselves and to save our life. And Jesus says, no, because life isn't here. Life is there. But if you will be ashamed of me, if you'll refuse to take up your cross, if you desire to save your life of denying yourself of your own will and refusing to participate in suffering and refusing to do what I tell you to do, if you're going to save your life of these things, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose what really matters. You're going to lose it in eternity. But if you will lose your life, what do you mean by that? You'll deny yourself, you'll open yourself for suffering and persecution, and you'll do what I tell you to do, you're going to save your life. You're going to have your life. And he's calling on those who are able to see beyond this physical reality. He's calling upon those who understand that God has put eternity in our hearts. And he's trying to reach that desire that we have, something greater than this physical world here. A true disciple is one who chooses the spiritual and the eternal over the physical and the temporal. But we have an adversary. We have an enemy. And what he loves to do, he loves to tempt us to miss our home in heaven by getting us caught up on what's happening right here in front of our eyes, right here in the here and now. Let's look at a couple of passages from the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6. Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, don't worry. A good portion of Matthew 6 is that do not worry about your life. Don't worry about these things. There's more than just these physical things. I want to look at verses 19 through 20. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Again, it's contrary to our way of thinking to not be concerned about laying up for tomorrow. You think about it, even the book of Proverbs tells us to go to the ant and consider how the ant works in order to be prepared for the winter. Yeah, we need to prepare for the future, but Jesus here is talking about where our heart really is. You know, some commercials on television that I've begun to notice, and maybe it's because I'm inching my way up a little in my age, but I see a lot of fear-mongering going on regarding preparing for retirement. And the idea is that if you're not setting aside a significant amount of your income with us, that's it, with us, then you're going to be woefully prepared, or unprepared, rather. And I see it, we need to consider what's going to happen with the rest of our lives here, but I see fear-mongering there. That if you don't start sending us your money, you're just being irresponsible. Jesus says, don't lay up treasures here on earth. Lay up treasure in heaven. You know, one of the things I love about Christianity is the retirement plan. Think about it. Eternity. Eternity. What does Satan do? No, he keeps running the commercials. Your life is tied to this world. Your life is limited to what years you have, and you need to give everything to that. And so we turn over just one chapter, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Why is it that there are so many people on that path that's leading to destruction? Because they don't look that far down the road. They're just looking right here and right now. And Jesus calls us to take a radical approach to our lives. Don't focus on the here and the now. Think about the life that is to come. A true disciple of Jesus Christ lives in this world, deals with realities in this world, don't get me wrong. But the treasure is laid up in heaven. And if we have to lose our lives in order to gain eternal life, that decision has already been made. Already been made. Those are true disciples of Christ. And then there's one more. Jesus says that a true disciple of His is not ashamed of Him. If we look in verse 26, "For whoever is ashamed of Me and My words," think about that, My teaching, those teachings that we are to follow, that we are to do in our lives, "whoever's ashamed of Me and My teaching, My words, My claims, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when He comes." Notice it doesn't say if He comes. When He comes in His own glory and in His Father's and of the holy angels. You and I know that the popularity and acceptability of Christianity ebbs and flows in our society. Right now, it seems to be enjoying a high point. It's popular now. It's acceptable now to be a Christian and to claim to be a Christian. There have been times just in recent years where that's not been popular. And we may very well go back to that again very soon. Christians are ridiculed. Christians are marginalized. Christians are sometimes prosecuted for their beliefs. This world is always going to exert an amount of influence and pressure upon followers of Christ to conform to the world. But even during times when it's okay to be a Christian and it's popular to be a Christian, the world is going to find true discipleship to be offensive and unacceptable. We are not to be ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to show you how things just don't change. Things just don't change. Being a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century is really no different than being a disciple of Jesus in the first century. Look at what people think of the words of Christ. Remember, whoever's ashamed of Me and My words. What about the words of Christ? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Look down at verse 23. "But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness." To the world today, the words of Christ are still foolishness and stumbling blocks. And we're pressured to conform to the world, to set the teachings of... Yeah, you can believe that if you want to. You just keep it to yourself. And you conform. Or get out of the way, or we're going to get you out of the way. It's no different today than it was 2,000 years ago. But for true disciples of Christ, refusing to blend in with Christendom of today, we strive to maintain the distinctiveness of the first century gospel in the 21st century world. Lord willing, next Sunday morning at our 9:30 hour, we're going to wrap up this series on doctrine that makes us different. We're not like others who claim to be following Christ. We want to follow His words exactly. That's going to make us different. That's going to cause us to stand out. And we're going to receive pressure, not just from unbelievers around us. We're going to receive pressure from those who claim to be Christians. You can't be narrow-minded like that. You can't believe that way. You can't do those things. We're going to have that pressure. And with that pressure, there's going to be the temptation to give in to shame. Jesus won't tolerate it. He will not tolerate it. We are not to be ashamed of Jesus, and we're not to be ashamed of His words. So let's pull this together as we bring this study to a close. We've been studying here this morning about these first steps, these initial steps, the most basic steps of being a disciple. This is our Lord's initial call of discipleship. Now, you and I, as Christians, we're going to live the rest of our lives learning how to advance in our discipleship. We want to grow. We want to be the fruitful branch on the vine. We want to be that effective soldier who can stand and defend the truth. Whatever idea, whatever model, whatever portrait you want to use, we want to excel in every one of those, but it's always good to come back to the basics, isn't it? It's always good to come back to the basics and remember what it is to follow Jesus. And I would say to the Knollwood congregation, right now is a good time for us to remember who it is that we are following. We are following Christ. This is the Lord's church, and we are following Him. But we're not following Him in our own way. If anyone desires, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We're to value the spiritual over the physical, and we are never to be ashamed of our Lord's words in this adulterous and sinful generation. Are you a true disciple of Christ? Are you a true follower of Christ? Maybe you call yourself a Christian and you've been challenged by some things today, like I have. Let's accept that challenge. Let's examine our hearts and our lives, and let's make sure that we're living in the way that our Lord would recognize us as being His true disciple. Maybe you've not made that decision yet. Maybe you're with us today and you're not yet a Christian. You need to become one. How do you do that? Well, you listen to what Jesus says. We must believe that He is the Son of God. We must repent of our sins. We must confess our faith in Him. Remember, we're not to be ashamed of Him. We must be willing to confess that faith, and we must be baptized. We must be buried with the Lord in the watery grave of baptism. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. And it's from that watery grave of baptism that we rise to walk in newness of life. It's there that we are born again of the water and of the Spirit. Whatever your spiritual need is, the invitation is extended to you. Remember, if anyone desires. Do you desire to come to the Lord this morning? Come, as we stand and sing this invitation song.